Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Planetary Makeover, creating a world that works for everyone. You can check us out on the web at www.planetarymakeover.org. And today we want to welcome a guest who we've had before and will have again, and we'll be discussing the messages from the world teacher who we will also get into more, his identity is a little bit later. But that gives you something to look forward to. And this is an upbeat message of hope and assistance for humanity of an extraordinary kind. So fear not is one of our themes. And now I'd like to introduce our guest, Catherine Ryle, who is a retired teacher and marine biologist, and now a most dedicated grandmother, who for over 40 years has been actively sharing this information that we're about to jump into. Greetings, Kathy.
Hi, David. It's always a pleasure for any possibility, any opportunity I have to share this truly transformative information that is so full of hope and possibility and promise and positivity for the future. So I'm really glad to be here. And it's a beautiful day and the sun is streaming in.
And we're lucky, even though I'm 3,000 miles away, the sun is finally out here too on the East Coast. Catherine is in California and I am in Boston. And do you want to tell us where in California you are, Kathy?
Well, I want to take the sun analogy and say this is about a dawn of profound light for all of humanity. And it's so full of promise and hope that I'm happy to provide more details. And I will just begin with little snippets of information for people who are seeing whether or not they want to listen to this show. So I love wordplay and acronyms, and we hear about the term Wi-Fi all the time. And so I've turned Wi-Fi into an acronym about what's coming today, and that is wisdom, an insight, and a positive future. And we're presenting ideas. And David, you know about how we like to introduce all the ideas we're going to share, all the information we're going to share.
Yes, thank you for that, Kathy. And what Kathy means is that this information, extraordinary as it is, we present for your consideration only. If it has the ring of truth, if it resonates with you, fine. If it doesn't, well, just set it aside and keep on moving.
Carry on.
That's right. And in that vein, can you tell us a little bit about how you came to this information and what's on your mind today?
Well, the first thing I want to share, and I'm going to hold it up to the camera very steady, is I love to pass out mind cookies. So this is the beginning. Here's the whole story in a nutshell. It's simply food for thought. You see what you think. So here's a mind cookie. Hope dawns anew. Transformation by people power. We are not alone. Ancient wisdom teachers return. Eldest brother Maitreya says, sharing equals justice equals peace. And then the website, share-international.org, and share love. So if you take anything away from this talk today, even in the very first few minutes, it's that we're all about sharing love, and beyond that, justice and peace and healing all the things that need fixing on this planet so that everyone can live fulfilling lives with full ability to thrive as human beings wherever they are. So this is a very universal perspective, a global perspective on what is going on in the planet right now. So you ask, David, about my history, and I would explain that I have always been a seeker. I've always been interested in spiritual things. Even as a child, I remember being enchanted in nature, and I became a biologist. That's my professional training in marine biology. And so, as a young teenager, I was quite devout, and had prayerful, meaningful experiences in the midst of challenging life circumstances. And in college, I was interested in other religions and studied other religions. And just little by little, I was willing to consider all kinds of possibilities, all different perspectives, getting to know people who held different belief systems. And those of us of my era, raised in the 60s, know that there was a profound explosion of growth, personal growth, and upheaval, and everything related to the 60s. So, a lot of teachings came through in that same time, and one of them that really captured me was a body of books called The Course in Miracles. In the meantime, I married and had my first child, and I was in a group of young mothers who, and this was in Oregon, young mothers who also were interested in spiritual things, and we'd get together and kind of mutually pollinate one another about ideas and possibilities and what we were learning. And one of the women had heard about a talk that was going to happen in Portland, Oregon in January of 1982. So we left our babies with our husbands and we jumped in the car and drove to Portland for the evening only, to hear a man named Benjamin Cram give a presentation. And I didn't know anything about him. I didn't even know what he looked like. But I was very interested in what this huge idea, the title of the talk was The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, which is quite a title. So I attended that talk and I was so impressed by the whole discussion, by what Mr. Krem had to say. And there was some meditation time, and I'd already been meditating. I started meditating my senior year of college. It gave a whole different meaning and purpose for me to understand on the meaning and purpose of life, a whole new perspective, very simply, very naturally. And he started out his talk the same way. You know, this is for your consideration. But I left that talk wanting to hug everybody. And anyway, I bought the book, and that's what I'm going to share. Let's see, that was the book I'm going to share today is the title of it. Well, I'll show you. But I bought the book and I read everything I could. And that was the beginning of me being completely focused and dedicated to sharing this information because I found it so full of hope and possibility.
And speaking of sharing this information, bringing it up to today, how did you come up with the mind cookie and how do you share that with others?
Well, there's little tiny pieces of paper, and you know, people are. I go to events and things. I mean, this is one of the things I do, and just say, here's my cookie, food for thought. See what you think. And there's a website for people to go to. So that's how I share. But it's fun. That's all. It's just fun. And that's what I'd like to stress about keeping this lighthearted and just as a possibility of something to think about. Just see what you think. If it seems interesting, find out more. And that's what we're going to share today, is how much more there is to understand. So I'm steeped in this entire history, all these years of watching the story unfold and grow and become more and more. So the messages I'm going to share, because I think it's probably time, David, is that right? Or have I forgotten some aspect of this?
Oh, you haven't overlooked anything. I just wanted to ask and observe too, that you're very thoughtful about how you share this information, not to interfere with people's free will or challenge their long cherished beliefs or opinions. You simply present this information as you do in the mind cookie, looking at the information that was on that, and leave it for the people to decide, which is a bit of a unique approach too, because a lot of people, when they're presenting new information, they present it as if it's something they really need to embrace. And you simply present it to them gently and give them something like the mind cookie to chew on, and then you let them ponder on it and go their own way.
It's speaking to a very, very, very significant principle. And that has to do with humanity's free will and the free will of the individual, the free will of the human race, humanity as a whole, is absolutely sacrosanct. It cannot be violated. So that's behind how I view this information, out of respect for each person to decide for themselves what matters to them, what's important to them, what guides their life. So the issue of free will is paramount. And that's how I like to share this information. Yeah. So in the context of what we're going through now, putting this in terms of what people are experiencing, we're in a time of immense change, and the change is also openings, with all the challenges, openings for the possibilities. And that's what I find so full of hope, is the possibility that we can change. And I absolutely believe we will, because we have help, and we have help of the most extraordinary kind. That has to do with human beings just like us, ordinary human beings, who are simply farther along in the process of the evolution of consciousness. So it looks at human being, our life on this planet, as a process of learning more and more about who we are and why we're here. And these people, I mean, they're great names in history who fill that perspective, the great teachers of history, often great spiritual leaders, but also great leaders and researchers and scientists and teachers, the names of people who are so effective. Well, in the process of maturing, those who have conquered the physical plane, mastered the physical plane, are called the masters of wisdom. And they have gone ahead of us. They know how life works, and they are here to help us.
Yes, and I think it's important to add too that we'll all be masters of wisdom one day.
At some perhaps point.
Yeah, perhaps they're just you and I, couple hundred thousand years from now. That this is part of the evolution of all of humanity. Again, this is for your consideration only. We don't expect you to believe any of this, just simply to consider it. But that, yes, all of humanity is on this path, and everyone listening here, all of you will become perfected human beings and masters of wisdom one day. And then you can look back and help out people like me who are still struggling.
Well, the issue of, you know, we're here to help. I mean, I think many people, ordinary people, are eager to help. And the masters are simply people who have mastered the physical plane, but they are here to help. And they have wisdom of profound understanding in all aspects of human society and life and the functioning of the systems of the planet. And at their head, and this is the focus, this is the key point, at their head is a teacher who is our eldest brother, and his name is Maitreya. And Maitreya and the Buddha were the two first human beings to fully wake up to their divine consciousness. And he is now the master. He's known as the master of all the masters. But all of this doesn't matter in terms of his basic teaching, his basic message. His basic message, in terms of how we address the problems on this planet, his basic message is that the answer is to share. And so I'd like to go into that in more detail after a little while, but I'd like to share, for starters, a little short reading from one of his messages to get us started. And then I'll explain how the messages came to be. So
that sounds great. I just wanted to add too that the masters of wisdom have said that there is no difference between them and us, that they simply have learned how to fully express their divinity. Right. They are living it. And we at our level have yet to fully express our own divinity, but we're getting there.
Well, and they, in their accomplishment over thousands of years, have abilities beyond our comprehension. So they have access to all information. They can appear and disappear. They, well, what else? They're also very human. And I've witnessed they have, in some of the readings and teachings, they have quite a sense of humor too. And that helps. I'm going to read an excerpt from message number 37, and I will explain how these messages came to be. This is from Maitreya. Here I'm reading from this book, Messages from Maitreya the Christ. This is the second book I ever got written or produced, it's 140 messages, but they came through Benjamin Krem, and I'll explain more. By this means will you know me, by my light which shines through you, awakening you to service and love. By this means will you know me, by my call for justice and reason. By this means shall you know me, by my work among your brothers, those who need my help. My appeal shall sound forth. Save the world. Help those who suffer and die in need. My call shall resound. Correct the mistakes of the past and renew the spirit of man. Make way for love in your hearts and see God.
That's incredible. What strikes me most, Kathy, is that line, correct the mistakes of the past and renew the spirit of man. Just incredible. I mean, who talks like that? Mm-hmm. These messages are something that stimulates not only the mind, but the intuition. Mm-hmm.
And they're beautiful, they're inspiring, they're encouraging, they're reassuring, they're powerful, and they explain who Maitreya is, why he's here, what he hopes we will embrace, what he hopes we will decide to do to help the world and heal the world. So these messages came through a man named Benjamin Krem. That's who I heard speak in Portland in 1982. He's since passed away. He died in 2016 at the age of, I think he was 94. And he traveled for 40 years sharing this information. He was trained for many years rigorously so that he could enable direct communication with his master. And after many years of that training and work, he was asked if he would attempt to bring these messages to the public. Benjamin Krem's original profession was as an artist, and he's an extraordinary artist, beautiful works. The cover of Cher International Magazine and the books that are published, I believe there are 19 books that have come from Benjamin Krem. That's his artwork on the cover. And actually, in Los Angeles, there's a Benjamin Krem Art Museum, and it's beautiful, that has original artwork by Benjamin Krem. So he was trained in telepathic connection with his master in preparation for him to bring messages from Maitreya, Maitreya the Christ. And I need to explain right now that in the context of this information, Christ is a title. And my understanding of it is it has to do with those who embody the highest divine consciousness that can be anchored on the planet, as Jesus was the Christ. And so it's actually a position that is held by the spiritual being who's bringing the highest teachings. So the
And that
what
was my understanding as well. It's a title, it's a position, it's an office, and he'll be holding it, I think, for another couple thousand years, and then he'll move on to another position, and someone else will assume that.
and it's so it's and it's a title, it's a title that doesn't belong to a religion or a particular belief. It's a perspective that is the highest divine energy that we can witness and embody. So these messages were received in public by a process known as overshadowing, where Benjamin Krem provides the physical voice, and these messages are available. They've been published, but you can also listen to them. And a few of them, seven of them, are available online. They're hard to find. That's another topic. But Benjamin Krem's ordinary voice, and he has a Scottish accent, is changed and deepened and resonating as Maitreya is using Krem's body to speak through it. It is not channeling, it is communication of the highest level of integrity and process. And it's something that you have to be trained for, prepared for over many years. So there are 140 of these messages, and they came between, they were recorded, presented, as I said, in public in London, which is where Benjamin Krem lived, oh, between 1977 and 1982. So that was sort of the first phase of the emergence of Maitreya into the modern world, is these teachings through these beautiful, poetic, powerful messages.
And Kathy, did you want to talk about some of the priorities that Maitreya put forth in those messages and elsewhere?
Exactly. And after the messages, Maitreya started releasing his teachings through other people in London who worked with Benjamin Krem, who knew Benjamin Krem. So in his teachings, and I just want to go back to the point that people say, why can't he just come forward? Why can't he just announce himself? And that gets back to the whole concept of free will. He cannot violate our free will. It is up to us to decide whether we like what he's saying, whether we think he has wisdom, whether we want to do what he suggests. And again, his basic message is the answer to the world's problems is to share. So his priorities have to do with the changes that must take place to enable every human being to live a life of purpose and fulfillment. And so he has four main priorities. Number one, and the one we want to speak about a little more deeply, has to do with solving the hunger issue, feeding the hungry. So hunger, housing, healthcare, and education. Food, housing, healthcare, and education. And again and again, he speaks about how can you see these people suffering and not help them? And that our reason to be here is to help each other, to help each other be fully who we all are. So you had that quote, David.
You're right. You read my mind, Kathy. I'm just thinking about sharing that snippet of message number 81, in which Maitreya said, "For how long can you live in a world where no man trusts his brother, his neighbor is his enemy, or he views him as his enemy, and the rich parade their wealth before the poor? For how long can you live thus? For how long can you support this degradation?"
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, then it goes on to share the priorities that you've outlined.
Well, very powerful words. And some of these messages have been put to music by a wonderful musician named Tony Townsend. They are available online. And some of them have helped me memorize some of Maitreya's messages because they're so beautiful. And one of the songs that Tony created was titled Stranger at the Gate. And that particular song took pieces of different messages and put them all together. But all along, it's about just looking at how we're living and how we need to change to heal what is so out of balance and unsustainable. And those of us in the developed world, in lives that are okay and healthy and carrying on and have all kinds of comforts, we're the ones who are going to have to change in order for other people to have lives that they can just get by on. I love a quote from Gandhi who said, "Live simply so that others may simply live."
Yes. And you made me think of another Gandhi quote where he said, poverty is the worst form of violence.
Exactly. So the time has come. And another thing that Maitreya spoke of has to do with, and it's really kind of the number one priority because it involves everyone on the planet, and that has to do with the environment and the need to heal the planet. So the concern amongst, this involves life for everyone everywhere, and that must be addressed. That's what all we're hearing now. We've got to come to grips with the changes that have to happen so that we can sustain the planet and return to a sustainable way of living.
And you're right. And Mr. Krem, Benjamin Krem, the artist, esotericist, and artist, esotericist, and author, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
He had said that the number one problem is complacency. It's a polite way of saying lazy, but it means more than that, which is often based on fear. It's complacency in the Western world that allows us to live relatively comfortable lives. We know everyone doesn't. There's over, I think it's over 30% of the population is below the poverty line here in the US. But for the rest of the populace, living relatively comfortable lives while people abroad starve for want of the food that lies rotting in these warehouses and the storehouses of the West. And this is something that must change.
Storehouses of the world.
Storehouses, yes, not just the West, but the world. But some of the biggest ones are here in the West. In the U.S., we have like hollowed out mountains with all kinds of goodies stored in them. And those could change the lives profoundly of all those people you made reference to that are hungry now.
Mm-hmm. So the reality is about one in every 10 people, one tenth of the population of the world, is either in some form of food stress or flat out starving terribly. One person in 10% of the population of the world is in dire need of food. And there's enough food on this planet to feed everyone. That is a fact. Yes. There's no reason why people are starving, except that the systems that run the whole world, which are intricate and complicated, they are not meeting the needs of the people. And that's the big picture of what needs to change. The systems that run the world are not meeting the needs of the people of the world. And the power and wealth and control is being concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. Well, this is all about people power. This is all about people rising up and claiming their right to a life of peace and justice and happiness and hope. And that's what these teachers are bringing, that
right.
idea, that concept. But we have to make it happen. It is not up to great spiritual beings to somehow magically transform the world. It's up to us to make it happen. And I maintain and I believe that there are millions, if not billions, of people who are ready to change.
That's
and
right.
ready to embrace
and,
this idea.
And Kathy, it's about changing our focus to one of accumulation and of greed to sufficiency, to a sense of and a priority of sufficiency for all, which would realign all of our economic guidelines now and priorities of the world, because right now it's commercialization that is sort of squeezing the lifeblood out of humanity. And we sum that up in two words: market forces. And I know we had talked about how the UN had said, speaking of market forces, that with only 10% of the world's military budget, we could wipe out hunger. Imagine that.
Right. And the bigger picture is that humanity is one family, one human family. And I'm going to read another message from Maitreya. And I wanted to make clear to our listeners and our viewers that the language of these messages speaks of brothers and sisters, but it is true, it uses the word man and men more. And it's important to understand that this language has to do with, when they use those terms, it refers to everyone. There's no excluding someone because of their gender or anything. Men, in the terms of these teachings, refer to all of mankind. Very important distinction to keep in mind. So,
thank you, Kathy. I just wanted to get in one more quick comment on that subject before you read that. You reminded me of something else, that the notion is, if you have a family of five, which only has enough food for four for dinner, they don't decide which person they're going to starve. They share that food equitably and fairly with everyone in the family. And that's how, as you pointed out, we need to treat our brothers and sisters around the globe, because humanity is one big family. And this is a ideal way to demonstrate that.
Exactly. Humanity is one family, and it's time to live as one family on our one planet, and have our actions, whatever we choose to do, how we act, what we consume, that it's out of consideration for how it impacts the planet and other people. So that's a big shift. That's a lot to ask. But it's time. It's the time for change. It's the time for transformation. It's time to build the positive future that is waiting for us. And I have great hope and faith and belief that the future is utterly positive in spite of all the negativity that we're seeing in the world and the confusion and the conflict and the chaos. That behind the scenes, incredible things are happening. There's much work going on. There's lots to be positive about. And I wanted to also make the point that in thinking about getting ready to share this with the people who are listening right now, there's a law of the universe that says energy follows thought. That is, thought is the directive principle. And so as long as the media or people or individuals are focusing on all the things that are wrong, granted, things that need fixing, but energizing that which is not working, what we really need to be focusing our thoughts on is all the things that are working, that are changing, that are full of possibility and are encouraging, and lifting that up and shedding light on what is positive and encouraging. And that's one reason I'm so committed to this information, because it is positive. So I think that's important to keep in mind. Energy follows what you pay attention to grows. So start paying attention to what you want to grow, which is healing and hope and helping. And that brings up sort of another area I hope to touch on that has to do with how people help each other and how anyone interested in this can help. So I read that.
Yes, and I think I've sidelined us enough times that I've wasted enough time that we're a little behind time. We need to go on to your next message.
Well, the next message, and so let me read it. This is message number 42. Many times have you heard me say that my coming means change. Specifically, the greatest change will be in the hearts and minds of men. For my return among you is a sign that men are ready to receive new life. That new life for men do I bring in abundance. On all the planes, this life will flow. Reaching the hearts and minds, excuse me, reaching the hearts and souls and bodies of men, bringing them nearer to the source of life itself. My task will be to channel those waters of life through you. I am the water carrier. I am the vessel of truth. That truth shall I reveal to you. And lift you into your true nature.
That's a message that really sets the listener free, mind, body, and soul. And so I know in connection with this, you wanted to talk a little bit more too about practical spirituality and a renewed future vision.
Well, I wanted to put a peep up for people who want to help, would like to do something and don't necessarily want to, don't think they can handle shipping food or something, that a very, very potent way to help the world is through meditation, a particular kind of meditation, which was given by Benjamin Krem's master to Benjamin Krem in, I believe, 1974. It's called transmission meditation. It's a meditation of service. It's a group endeavor. It's very potent. You want to add a little bit, David?
Yes. Thank you, Kathy. The energy is coming from the masters of wisdom, who are sort of the scientific custodians of this energy, and it passes through the participants, through their upper chakras, and out into the world. We don't direct it. They direct it. And it sort of, you could say poetically, adds to the pool of spiritual energy from which all creation drinks. Or, put it in a more earthy way, since it's helping everyone, it can even help countries negotiate that are each other's throats.
Well, and we don't, it's not about trying to figure out where it should go, but it's just for consideration. It's a method of personal development and spiritual growth that's takes place in group formation. And now there are Zoom groups for meditating. There are hundreds of meditation groups all over the world. Transmission Meditation has its own website. So we're noticing the time because we are going to have a question and answer period if people hear this and want to call in. What's the number, David, people should call if they want to ask a question?
Thank you for reminding me. That's 888-627-6008 or 6008. Again, that's 888-627-6008 or the direct line 323-744-4831. And one more time, the number, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008 or 6008. And the direct line is 323-744-4831. And we'll continue chatting, but if anyone calls in, we'll drop everything and take your call.
And try to answer people's questions. But so I've spoken about these 140 messages and the basic, you don't have to really care about who Maitreya is or the Masters of Wisdom. If you just want to help the world, do it any way you want to, but if you want to help the world in a very, very potent way for spiritual growth and development, learn about transmission meditation. So the bigger idea is that we're all in this together. Let's help each other. Let's do whatever is right in front of us. I love the quote. I think it's Buckminster Fuller who said, "Think globally, act locally." I should track down that quote, but it's about being mindful of what's going on. And certainly if people, if this whole message resonates or sounds intriguing, there's lots of ways to get more information about it. And we should probably talk about that a little bit before I say more, in case, you know, waiting for anyone if they wanted to call in.
Yes, the of course, the website which you alluded to is simply www.transmissionmeditation.org. Mm-hmm. And as you also pointed out, Masters of Wisdom aren't looking for followers. They don't want you to believe in them. They want you to experience yourself, your true self. And by doing that, the self, as which is more of another word for the part of you that is God, and that's something we put forth too. You are God with a small g, but since we live in a spiritual universe, it could not be otherwise. Everything is spiritual, and everything has an element of the divine in it. And so the masters are, as I said, are not looking for followers. They want you to discover yourself. And through discovering the self with a capital S, you will discover everyone else, because we're all connected to that. We all have that within us. And that's part of what transmission meditation that Kathy has described is all about.
Well, and the path to the reason The reason that all of this is happening right now, that so much is in crisis, that so much has come to a head, is that it's time. It is time for humanity to wake up to its higher truth of its being. So these challenges that are everywhere are inviting us to consider new ways of being, new ways of helping, new ways of thinking about who we are as one human family. So that's one perspective on how to understand what's going on in this evolution of consciousness that living on Earth is all about.
And Kathy, I know that you wanted to talk about too the phases of the emergence, which I wanted to take us back to the beginning for a moment when Maitreya, after World War II, said that he was going to emerge publicly when humanity had adopted a modicum of sharing and peace, had demonstrated that. And he waited and waited and waited and waited since 1945. And at one point, he finally just said, "Ready or not, here I come. I enter a world," as he said in one of the messages, "ready, but unprepared." And a lot of what Kathy has discussed, what you've discussed with us today, Kathy, is about getting ready. So could you talk a little bit about the phase of this long emergence process that we're in and your analogies for that?
Oh, my analogy. Well, I wanted to put in a little bit of context of what you said, that we're at a time of transition to a whole nother way of thinking about who we are and what we're doing. And Maitreya's emergence it has taken longer than certainly any of us working in this as volunteers. We're all volunteers, expected. In 1982, that was the absolute soonest Maitreya could come forward. And as Benjamin Krem explained, it was the media's job to follow up on the story and really try and find out who this man was. And the media didn't do that. And the media really kind of represents the interests, is supposed to represent the interests of humanity. And Maitreya has had to take the long way around, as Krem described it, to come forward, because he cannot violate human free will. So the messages ended, these beautiful messages ended in 1982. His teachings were released through groups of people after that. And then a really major event in world history happened. I believe it was June 11th, 1988, outside Nairobi, or in one of the outskirts of Nairobi, Kenya. Maitreya literally appeared out of the blue, out of thin air, before about 6,000 people who had gathered. It was a missionary station founded by Mary Akatsa, a very devout woman who ran, it was an evangelical center, and she told everyone to come on that day because they were going to have a very special visitor. And out of the blue, in the midst of 6,000 people, Maitreya literally appeared. He spoke in perfect Swahili for 15 or 20 minutes, was moved through the crowd. Healings happened around him. He went off, was given a ride in a car a short distance away, and literally got out of the car and disappeared in thin air. That event, it just so happens the editor of the Kenya Times was present. A few photographs were taken. That's how Maitreya appeared at that time. And it was international news for a very brief time. So there is a record of that.
And that's amazing. Oh, and Kathy, I don't mean to interrupt, but apparently we have a caller.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Okay.
And it's Mark from California on line two. Mark, would you like to share your question with us?
Yes. Could you explain a little bit about the spiritual tradition that Benjamin Krem arose out of, or some of the spiritual practices besides transmission meditation that are part of what the work that you do.
Well, I'm so glad for that question because it gives me a chance to mention that Benjamin Krem was steeped in teachings that originally appeared in the late 1800s, beginning with Helena Blavatsky, a Russian woman. And that body of teachings and other subsequent people who brought further teachings about what life is and the meaning and purpose of life, those are called the ageless wisdom teachings. And they stand behind all the great religious teachings of the world, speaking about what our purpose is here and the evolution of consciousness. And so that's a key word if people want to follow up on their own to look into the ageless wisdom teachings through Helena Blavatsky. Helena Rorick presented another body of books called the Agni Yoga Teachings, and Alice Bailey had her teachings. They all worked directly with masters, and then Benjamin Krem is really, we see him as the fourth person in that line of teachings of information about this way of understanding what life is about. What was the second question, David? That's to you.
Let me just bear in mind, we have 4 minutes left.
Oh, wow.
And Mark, what was that second question? Please tell us again.
The second question is about spiritual practices other than transmission meditation that may have come through Benjamin Krem or through the Masters or Maitreya.
Other spiritual traditions other than transmission meditation. Well, he does talk about the ageless wisdom teaching, which Kathy referenced, and the authors that she mentioned.
Spiritual practices.
I will tell you one thing simply in our few minutes, and that is Maitreya encourages us to practice honesty of mind, sincerity of spirit, and detachment. And certainly any method of service, helping anyone in any way, is an act of growth when you think of another person and help another person. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I'm very grateful for you to raise those points.
And thank you. Helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And thank you, Kathy, for pointing that out to me so I didn't do it in such a roundabout fashion. And thank you, Mark, for bringing me back to the point.
Well, no matter what, we only have maybe a one minute or something, but I just want to say this is
2 minutes.
This is a perspective of new ideas, new possibilities, new hope, a positive future. There's so much going on this planet that is behind the scenes that we aren't seeing, that is transformative, that is full of possibility and wisdom and hope. So I really want to encourage people to keep that in mind, just as a consideration that it's not as bad. We certainly have a lot of work to do. There's no question about that. But I also like to say in closing, the best is yet to come.
That's right. So, and before we close, let me let people know where they can get some of this information, planetarymakeover.org, share-international.org, the Share International YouTube channel. And Kathy had mentioned, check out Time for Change on the YouTube channel, and that this is produced by planetarymakeover.org. And for more information, shareinternational-west.org, and check out our sister show, What in the World is Happening, which is at youtube.com/@messageofhopeweekly. And they're on Facebook at Share International Canada. So thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Kathy, for enhancing the show. And we hope to see all of you back here on Planetary Makeover very soon.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.